Be the kind of person you want your kids to be. Mike gets into the how-to of training your kids and begins to explain his 12 key principles to parenting.
You know, more than anything in the world, what parents need is to be loving, kind, gentle human beings with authority and discipline and order in their own lives. That's the big step into parenting. It's not having a bunch of techniques or tools. It's being the kind of person that your child wants to be like. It's being the kind of person you want them to be. And when they see in you and desire to be like you, when their friends say to them, "What do you want to be like when you grow up?" "I want to be like my mama." You got the battle won. That's what my daughters will all tell you about my wife. Now, I don't know about my boys. I think they're better than I am. You know, I think they're harder working than I am. I think they're more solid than I was when I was their age. I think I've done, due to my wife, better with them than I was myself, you know. But they're men with conviction, men that are respected, men that have ambition and are gentle and strong. They're both over 6'4" and a half. Gabriel weighs 220. He can take a 60-pound bow and draw it back like this, arms locked. Most men can't even draw it back the normal way, you know. He kills deer with a bow, kills elk with a bow, shooting turkey with a bow. I mean, you know, real men and gentle men at the same time. And they listen to me. Right now, I can tell either one of my boys, I think, what, they're 22 and 20, something like that. I can tell either one of them to sit down, and they sit down. I don't do it often, but I can. And I can tell either one of them, "I want to talk to you." And they drop everything, and they listen to what I've got to say. I could tell either one of them right now, "Do not go to Nashville." And neither one of them would go. And by the way, my older son's got his own construction company and goes all over the world. He's been all over the world. He owns a property, owns his own home. I mean, you know, he's a man in every sense of the word. But if I told him not to do something, he would stop doing it. My second son is engaged to be married. He didn't get engaged until he consulted me and his mother. He didn't get engaged until we met the girl. I mean, we'd already met her, but we got to know her. We invited her to our house. She stayed there with us. My wife says to our daughters, while she's here, try to make her lose her cool. Irritate her, aggravate her, see what she's made out of. And they did, man. They worked her over. She came through with flying colors. And we checked her out. We talked with the parents. Parents talked with us. We looked the thing over. We said, "Okay, you can court her. Just don't do any smooching. Keep your hands off of her." Daddy, still on the other end, said the same thing. I said to my son, I said, when I marry you two, if I'm the one that does it, I want to be able to stand up and say, "Watch it, folks, you're fixing to kiss for the first time." And I said, "Don't you disappoint me, boy." Because he's made out of the same stuff I am, and I know he's got some trouble. And so, "Is it all right?" he says. I said, "Yes, I like her. Mama likes her. It looks good. We've prayed about it. We think it'll work out. Go ahead." So he goes down, he courts her. And so after several months, they're engaged to be married. And if I were to say to him right now, "No, it's off. You cannot marry that girl," it would be done. It'd be the end of it. Now, do you have that kind of control with your kids? You know why? Because my kids respect me. They respect me because they know that my life is dedicated to their welfare. They know that there's nothing in the world more important, not even my ministry, is as important as they are and their happiness. And they know that of their mother. And folks, that's what it takes. There's no point at which that respect terminates. When they're adults, it's still there. And your power to persuade them and move them is still there. Now, I'm careful. I don't go around running my boys' lives. But if there's something comes up that I think needs addressing, I have addressed it, and they do listen and they do respond. Now, what you say, what can I do if I've got a rebellious 10-year-old? Let's say, for example, I tell him, "Son, take the garbage out." He says, "Oh, Mama, I don't want to take the garbage. Not now. Okay, I'm trying to do this thing here." You say, "Son, I need the garbage taken out now. The garbage man's coming. I need it all out there." "Oh, can't you let Susie do it?" And you make the mistake, well, Susie took it out yesterday. What are you doing, bargaining? Are you Yasser Arafat? Hey, I said take the garbage out. Oh, I don't have to. Well, son, why do you always whine like that? Just breaking my heart. Hey, get off of it. He's just 10. He's still 10, okay? You're still bigger than he is. You got daddy to back you up. If nothing else, you'd kick him out and quit feeding him. You quit washing his clothes. You call the welfare department, have him come haul him off. I mean, you got all kinds of power he doesn't have. And so you say to him, take the garbage out. Oh, all right. He goes and he gets a can like this and takes the garbage out the door. Carries it out. He comes back in. He's still got stuff, you know, all inside of it and a couple things stuck in the bottom of it and little lasagna is kind of stringy. And he sticks it back under the cabinet. Doesn't shut the door. Half under there. Stops off. That's totally unacceptable. I mean, absolutely unacceptable. The attitude that never let that go. Life ends here. Or this thing gets straight. I mean, it's that serious. Now you say, well, okay, so that's my kid. That's me. That's my family. You've been there. You are omnipresent. Here's how you do it, Mama. And this will work. I've given this advice. Women have tried it, and it's worked. You just go home and you say, son, I've been a bad mother. I have reasoned with you, and I have pleaded with you, and I've played pity stuff with you, and I'm through doing that. I've learned from this little book that I'm not to do that, that I'm to take charge for your welfare, for your good. The book says it'll make you better. And so that's what I'm going to do. There was a mother wrote us. She said, I need two more books. She said, mine disappeared. I couldn't find it. She said, I look. Finally, my daughter came to me and confessed. I said, do you know where the... She said, yes, I buried it. She said, go dig it up. I said, wouldn't do any good. I tore it in little pieces before I buried it. She said, send me two. I'm going to keep one in reserve. So tell them, look, I read this book. And I am going to be consistent from this point on. Take the garbage out. Oh, Mama, I don't want to. He's too big. I know he's too big for a spanking. He's too big for whipping. That's what makes it fun. Get yourself a stick or a rod or a belt or something. Mama, you're not going to whip me, are you? Whap! Take the garbage out. Oh, wow. He takes the garbage out like that, you know. You don't have to get mad about it. You don't have to cry. You don't have to cry. You don't have to get upset. My wife was swatting at ours when they were 14, 15. I mean, it's funny to them. It's funny to me. It's funny to her. But it gets them moving. And so he'll carry the garbage out. And he come back in. There. You say, you know, you didn't get it clean inside. And your feet came down too hard on the floor. And the door shut just a little bit too hard. So I want you to go outside and get that garbage and put it back in the can. And bring it back in here and put it back. Training, folks. Military type, you know. Put it in here. You want me to what? I said, go out and get the garbage you just dumped and bring it back in here and put the can back under here. You're kidding. Wow. Okay. There. Still don't like your attitude. Where's your smile? Let me see your smile. And I want a big smile. A smile? What? Quap! Now take it out and dump it again. There. Still don't like your attitude. And the thing's not clean. And the door shut too hard. I'm going to sit down here and read. Take it out and do it again. Mama, you don't say it. Takes it out. Brings it back in. Spot down there inside of it. You didn't wash it good enough. Go back out and get the garbage and bring it back in. After about 10 times in half a day and he's wetting garbage up to here and he's stinking, he's going to go. Mother, your garbage can. Is there anything else I can do? No, son, that's fine, thank you. No lectures. You're in charge. I guarantee you, one such experience, just one, where you win, is going to make all the difference in the world. Now, I'm going to give you the child training principle that goes all the way through. Now, you might want to write this down somewhere and take a whole sheet of paper. All right, here it is. I'm going to dictate it to you. W, capital W, capital I, capital N. All right, now right under that, win. And under that, win, and win, and win, and win, and win. That's the child training principle. Parent, you got to win. You've got to win every time. That's what. Now, there's a second alternate principle. If you can't win, be perceived to win. In other words, if you might not be able to manage getting the kid to do everything he ought to do, then don't, if you know you can't get him to do everything he ought to do, just demand a little less and make sure he does it so that you win. You follow what I'm saying? And once you win a contest, now you haven't won it if he's got a bad attitude. Can you see that? You haven't won it if the door shuts too hard. You haven't won it like when the little kid was, the little girl, Amy, was screaming, I spanked her. If I had allowed her to scream after spanking her, I would not have won. She'd had the last word. By making her stop screaming, I won the contest. And so by making him tiptoe, by making him polite, by making him smile, there was no trace of rebellion or resistance anywhere in anything he did communicated to you. You follow what I'm saying? And until you've rid the situation of every trace of rebellion and resistance, then you haven't won. But once you do that in any one area and you conquer, when you tell that little baby, lay down, and he lays down and stays there, the next time you say lay down, that baby knows that there's no end to this except sleeping. No end. Never get up. Now, we got people in our church, I mean, they've been there. They've got my material, I've taught, and they just ignore everything I say. And they've got a little kid, and they pick the kid up, and the kid wants, no, can't get down. The kid's squirming, no, you can't get down. Okay. And they put the kid down. The kid wants something, shh, be quiet. No, be quiet. Shh, be quiet. They take the kid out of the room, shh, be quiet. And they just keep training that kid, just push me. Push me a little further, and I'll give over to you. Just cry. Cry a little louder. Cry a little harder. Be upset. Have your feelings hurt, and I'll give over to you. And once you start that, there is no end. That child is in charge of you. He's in charge of the home. And you're going to hate that kid before it's over with. I have parents write me and say, I do not like my kids. And I actually have people say to me, I hate my kids. And these are not mean people. These are honest people. These are not crude, vulgar people. These are middle-class, hard-working, honest people who just face it and say, look, I've looked at the situation, and I just don't like my kids. Now, they don't really hate them in the sense that you hate your enemy. They hate them in the sense that emotionally, in a social way, they don't want to associate with them. They don't want to talk to them. They don't like them. They just put out with them. Now, they wouldn't have written me the letter and told me they hate their kids if they really hated their kids. You follow what I'm saying? They wouldn't care. They'd be glad. They just want to make their kids miserable. But what they really want, they want to turn that thing around. The mother really loves her kids desperately, but her emotions are constantly provoked to despise what she sees in them, what she's created there. Well, what you know what I tell the mothers? I tell a mother, the feeling's mutual. They hate you too. I mean, that's what your home life, that's what it's like. And to turn that thing around, you're going to have to become lovable. Hey, there's your answer. To turn it around, you are going to have to become lovable, mother. And when your kids start loving you, they'll start wanting to please you. If you're not lovable, then they're not going to be like you. So you make that kid carry that garbage out or whatever. You see, it works in the military. In the military, they tell a fella, look, we're going to give you 45 seconds between the time the bugle sounds to get out here, full dress uniform, you know, shoes polished. And if you don't get out there in 45 seconds, then you're going to run around these grounds. Well, how many of them get out there? None. None of them get out there in that length of time. So they have them run around the grounds for about 2 hours with no breakfast. You say, but that's impossible, yes. You say, why do they do that? Because none of those guys want to run around there for 2 hours. And these sergeants are in charge, and they want these guys to know that the command doesn't have to be reasonable. It just has to be obeyed. And if it's not, there are consequences. Now, I don't do that with my kids, and you wouldn't either. But the point is, these are 18-year-old men who can stand this. They can reason with this. They can think about it. Doesn't matter if they hate the sergeant. The end point is, when they say, hit the dirt, these guys are going to hit the dirt. When they say, take your clothes off, they're going to take their clothes off. When they say, stand still, we're going to give you a shot, they stand still and they get a shot. When they say, jump out of this plane, they're going to jump out of the plane. When they say, charge that bunker with machine gun fire, and you just saw 16 guys die, you're going to get out and charge the bunker. Knowing you may die, or probably will die, or are going to die. You're going to obey. That's what the military is all about. We always wonder how they get guys to do that. It's called boot camp. That's where they get them to do that. That's where they go from being mama's boy, from being a spoiled brat, to being a soldier that does exactly what he's told to, no matter how unreasonable or stupid or painful it is, because he's conditioned. Ten hut! I've stood there like this and heard some guy just passed out. We've been here 2 hours. Fell flat on his face. A sickening sound. Have you ever heard anybody fall flat on their face? Cold passed out. A little blood runs out. You look around like that. They pick them up and haul them off. And you hear another one. And then another one. See, why do they do that, those guys? See, they're being mean to them, right? No, they're teaching them. You can take it. If you can't, we don't care. You just do what we tell you to do. That's military training. It's conditioning to take pain. Conditioning, you got to start getting woozy like this, you know. Conditioning to suffer. Now, granted, we're not going to train our kids this far. We're not going to do that with them. The point is, it can be done. And if it can be done on an 18-year-old that you've given up on, then you ought to be able to do it on a 10 or 11-year-old. You ought to be able to make him do exactly what you tell him to do, because you're going to tell him something reasonable. And they're telling him something unreasonable. Now, how do you do it? You got to be a sergeant. Mother, you got to be a sergeant. Think like a sergeant. Now, don't start cussing like one. Just think like one, you know. You have to be angry like one. But just be in control. It will work. Now, I made a list of 12 essentials to child training. Now, I'm not going to go over all of them carefully, but I'm going to read them to you. They're going to be in my next newsletter, so you can read about them. The 12 essentials to child training. The first one is love. Now, you have to be cautious about that word love, because love is not a sentiment. It's what you do. I know a lot of mothers spoil their kids by just being ooshy-gooshy. The mother is really concerned about her own feelings and not about the kids. So she lets them do anything just to keep a little level of passivity and peace right now. That's not the kind of love we're talking about. Love has to be tough. Love sometimes has to create pain. Love sometimes has to make demands and upset the moment for the big picture that's far beyond. Love has to be applied with wisdom. If there's not wisdom to discern what's good for the child and being willing to enter into pain, both you and the child, to bring that about, then it's not true love. It's nothing more than a personal, selfish sentiment.
As always, we hope you were blessed by what you've heard today. And again, remember to check out our great weekly online specials.